Tonight, the vice presidential candidates go head-to-head for their first and only debate. It's been touted as heavily as if it was a battle between former heavyweight boxing titans Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis. Or maybe that's Bobby Riggs versus Billie Jean King, that tennis match way back in 1973. That got quite a bit of publicity as well. But tonight's battle is all about politics. Senator Joe Biden and Governor Sarah Palin are slated to discuss domestic and foreign policy at Washington University in St. Louis. Later in the show, we'll talk about what goes on behind the scenes as campaign teams prepare for debates. But for now, we turn to an expert on the history of presidential debates, Tom Holohan. He is a professor at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication. Welcome to News & Notes.
Happy to be here.
Well, we've seen just one debate already between Senators McCain and Obama. How did that one compare with presidential debates of the past?
Well, I thought it was similar to some of the debates of the past. It was a primarily issue-focused debate. Mm-hmm. I thought both of the candidates did a fairly good job of achieving what they wanted to achieve. I don't think it was a debate where either candidate made a huge mistake, and that's the primary goal that both candidates always have, to avoid becoming the story because you make a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Of course, these television debates, everybody, there's a lot of battle over whether we should debate, and they are always held. But before television, how much of a call was there for debates leading up to a presidential election?
Well, the first debates between presidential candidates didn't occur until 1960, and the Nixon-Kennedy debates, of course. And then they didn't occur after 1960 until 1976, primarily because they were seen as risky. Mm-hmm. An incumbent who was running well ahead of his opponent didn't want to risk a debate. And in 1976, of course, we had the unique situation of an unelected incumbent who decided that because he was trailing his opponent, he was willing to debate. And we had a challenger who was eager to share the platform with an incumbent president because he thought that would create more credibility for his candidacy.
Well, because you've mentioned that one, I want to play a bit of tape from that began in 1976 when President Ford raised eyebrows in his clash with Jimmy Carter when he said this.
There is no Soviet domination of Eastern Europe, and there never will be under a Ford administration.
I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Democratic Senator Lloyd Benson, who was putting down Republican nominee Dan Quayle at one of the more memorable vice presidential debates back in 1988. We also heard Ronald Reagan making light of his opponent, Walter Mondale, in 1984. A few examples there of memorable comments made during debates. Which ones stand out for you? What have you heard?
Well, I think all of those comments represent sort of the classic examples of what happens when one quip or one gaffe statement becomes the defining press story in the wake of a debate. And each of those moments illustrate what the candidates, as I say, absolutely need to avoid. As we look forward to tonight's debate, for instance, many people are going to be watching to see whether or not Senator Biden goes on and on and on and stops talking at some point in order to permit space for other people to communicate. And so it's avoiding that kind of expectation of where his weakness lies that will be defining characteristic as to whether or not he's successful. So avoiding the mistake is the most important thing. I think the examples you cite are the classic illustrations of when a mistake occurs. These debates are really in a very strong sense about theater. And so you're battling the expectations of the audience and you're trying to fulfill your strategy and you're trying to shape the news story that appears the next day. You cite, for example, the case of Ford and Poland. Mm-hmm. Initial polling said that people who viewed the debate were not unsympathetic to Ford and, in fact, thought he had acquitted himself rather well in the debate. the public opinion didn't shift until the next two or three days after, as the press accounts of the debate focused almost exclusively on that statement about Poland. And as a result of those press accounts, public attitudes began to shift in the days following the debate, and Ford was presumed to have lost it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because you're talking about issues and people really paying attention to them. But in the 1960 debate between Kennedy and Richard Nixon, that really transformed the game, not necessarily, though, because of the issues, though. It was TV and how they looked, was it?
Some fascinating dynamics in that debate. First of all, Nixon had made a pledge to visit all 50 states, and he had recently come back from a trip to Alaska. He didn't wear makeup in that debate. He had battled the flu. He wasn't feeling well. And Kennedy sort of said, well, I'm not going to wear makeup, you know, almost making it sound like it would be a womanly sign of weakness to wear makeup. Kennedy, in contrast, had prepared for the debate.
Or Nixon said that.
No, Kennedy said that to Nixon, uh-huh. Right? Kennedy, on the other hand, had prepared for the debates in Florida, had played a little golf, had spent a lot of time in the sun. So he went into the studio looking tanned and looking fit. So the contrast just in appearance between Nixon, who badly wanted pancake makeup to cover his beard, and Kennedy, who looked healthful and fit, was profound. Mm-hmm. And what the lesson of that debate was that style matters in many senses as much as substance, and that people are looking for nonverbal as well as verbal cues in evaluating the debaters.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've only seen one other vice presidential debate that was between a man and a woman. And I was wondering what lessons could both candidates learn from the Geraldine Ferraro, George Bush Sr. debate that was held in 1984?
Well, when a male candidate debates a female, he has to be especially sensitive to not appear to be condescending and to be respectful. And there were moments in that Bush-Ferraro debate where Bush seemed to be putting Geraldine Ferraro down and seemed to be saying that she didn't really deserve to be in the position she was in. And there were negative press framings as a result of that. I would expect tonight that Senator Biden, particularly given the history of Hillary Clinton and the relationship between the Clinton voters and the Obama campaign, is going to be profoundly sensitive to that tonight. He is likely not to make any attacks, I would expect, on Governor Palin, but is instead going to make his attacks against Senator McCain and will be focusing on the top of the ticket, assuming that the moderator of the debate will be pressing Governor Palin for answers and that Governor Palin will succeed or fail based upon her own abilities.
All right. Well, that was Tom Holohan, a professor at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication. He is also the author of Uncivil Wars, Political Campaigns in a Media Age. And he joined me here in our NPR West studios.